Why are all of us here on a Tuesday night? Seems odd, doesn't it? It's Tuesday night. When do we come to church? We come to church on Sunday. Sunday morning, we have our worship service, we have Sunday school, we have catechism. We come again in the evening to worship the Lord our God. It's the best way to begin the week. Then we have holy days or holidays like Christmas and Easter that are celebrated by many. And as our forefathers had and inherited from other churches, it was a day they didn't have to work. So what better thing to do than to call upon the name of the Lord our God together? But why are we here today? Well, we're here to remember Prayer Day. And Prayer Day is a special day. It's a day where we gather to call upon God's name and to worship Him as the seasons are changing from winter to spring. As the farmers are going to begin to get ready to start planting, as it's a time of change. We may have had snow and sleet last night, but it's certainly gotten a lot warmer, hasn't it? It's going from winter. Things are thawing out. New buds are starting to grow on the trees. What was dead is now starting to come to life. And at a time like this, we not only think of the newness of life, we not only think of all the work we have to do, but with it we perhaps think of all the things that we need, all the things we are trusting the Lord to provide. Rain, sunshine, safety, traveling mercies, all different things that come with the change of seasons and what the Lord is laying out before us. So we are here to call upon the name of the Lord, to pray. And this evening, remember in particular, He has given His people everything. Everything. In Romans chapter 8, the Holy Spirit is guiding and teaching the people of God. In Romans chapter 8, as they were struggling with what does the law do and what does it mean to be delivered by grace, to be delivered from sin, to be serving God, not under the law, but out of grace, to live as someone who knows they're a sinner, but been delivered by Christ and struggling with the fact that they still have to war, do battle against their own sinful desires. Well, in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit tells us that we should walk according to the Spirit. Shows us that in the midst of our struggles, we ought to pray. And even when we don't know how to pray, the Spirit will help and gives us the greatest of encouragements in the sovereignty of God, in His power, in the work of Christ. And in all that reminds us, as we just highlight verse 32 this evening, that we have everything. Romans chapter 8, verse 32 says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivereth Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? All things. God here promises to supply us with everything. You might say, but there's a question mark behind it. There's a question mark behind it. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? This is one question in a series of questions. And it's formed in a question for the direct purpose of emphasizing what He will do. When it says, how shall He not with Him give us freely all things? The response in your mind and heart should be, by the Spirit's leading, of course He will. Of course He will. It's made a question for effect that demands the conclusion, of course He will. And that's what we want to consider on this prayer day as we gather together and look to the Lord, trusting Him to supply what we need for the season to come, that He will supply all things. And the first thing we're going to consider is notice how great this is. how big this is, how amazing this is, how all-encompassing this is, how deep, how wide this is. Quite simply, all things, he says. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He'll give us everything. And think about what that means for a moment. All. That word all. Is anything left out of that word all? Say you had a group, like maybe you had a dozen eggs, and you open them up, and your mom asks, are they all okay, free from little cracks? Do they all look good? And you say, yes, they all do. How many are good? All of them, all 12 of them. Not one is left out. Well, so much more than 12 eggs. We're talking all of everything. All. Think about what that means for you and for me and for everyone who would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we, by the grace of God, would come to him in repentance and faith and trust in him, think about what that means. All of what you need. All of it. Anything you think about what you need, anything, any amount of anything, how much time, how many things, how long, enough of something, the answer is all. All. Sometimes we're skeptical of that. Is that true? Would God really give us all? All? The answer is absolutely yes. And if somebody says, how? Well, the answer is right set before us. His promise. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We'll see what this cost him next. But notice how the all is a promise of God. In black and white, he will give us all. So regardless of what it may need, what we may need, sunlight, water, money, supply, food, toys, healing, you name it, all of it will be provided. We could say it's not only the depth, but the extent. All things. Now, what isn't a thing? Is there anything that isn't a thing? To put it another way, is there anything in this world, anything in this universe, that isn't created by God? Can you think of anything? The only things not created by God is God himself. Everything else, we could say, is a thing, is a creature. What sort of things, what sort of creatures do you need? Do you need a spouse? If you truly need one, God will provide it. Do you need a job? God will provide it. Do you need a home? God will provide it. Do you need food? God will provide it. What is it that you need? What thing, what creature do you need? God will provide it. And again, you wonder, is that true? Is that really true? Will God give me what I need? Absolutely. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 21 through 23, and these are just a few of the words in that blessed passage. He says, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Again, notice the emphasis. All things are yours. Later on in the passage, he gives a little more to the list. here in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, he stops there. He goes on to develop the argument from another angle. But we're considering in connection with prayer day all things. Here in 1 Corinthians 3, he says, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. And then this list, the world, life, death, things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ's is God's. If God has everything, and Christ is God's, and you are Christ's, what is there that is not yours? The answer is absolutely nothing. Everything is yours. Everything is yours. Everything is yours. We've talked so far in our list about what we would call physical things, practical things, our needs of physical life. Paul highlights that in that list from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But it's also amazingly true of spiritual things. It's also amazingly true of spiritual things. That's more along the line of what Romans 8 develops. Notice how the questions before and after all fit together with a tremendous amount of spiritual blessing of all things, just as full and as deep as we've considered of the practical things in our examples and from 1 Corinthians 3, 21 through 23. Beginning of verse 31 of Romans 8, what shall we then say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Continues our text. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who's going to accuse God's people of any wrongdoing? Will they? Will the devil? Will another creature? No. Faultless, pure, clean. As the text goes on to say, it is God that justifieth. He has found them clean. He has declared them righteous for Jesus' sake. God is bigger than your conscience. God is bigger than your heart. God is bigger than the opinions of others. God is bigger than the lies and railings of the devil. His marvelous work in Christ stands. That's why verse 34 says, who is he that condemneth? Who will pass judgment? Who will pass judgment? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or trouble, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And again, notice those two little words. All things. Nothing left out. And all things more than conquerors through him that loved us. Just as he delivered up Jesus Christ. And just as he has given Jesus Christ, how shall he not give him also freely all things? He goes on in verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. It's as exhaustive a list as the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come. All are yours. As he says in 1 Corinthians. He continues in verse 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, that same emphasis. Ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. The great hugeness of this supply of all things in its depth and extent. Too good to be true. Absolutely, that's why God's the one who did it. That's also why it is true. It would be too good to be true, except God Himself made it happen, and God Himself promised it. And to put it perhaps another way, because God Himself paid for it. Because God Himself paid for it. He can give us all things because He paid the price to give us all things. He paid the highest price possible. He paid with His Son. That's how verse 32 begins. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If He's willing to pay the price of His Son for the likes of us, if He's willing to give His Son for us, what else wouldn't He give? Think about that. Think about what that means. If you would be willing to give your child, wouldn't you give your money? If you were willing to give your child, wouldn't you give your car? If you were willing to give your child, wouldn't you give your house? If you're willing to give your child, wouldn't you give your tools? If you were willing to give your child, wouldn't you give your hobbies and your toys? What wouldn't you give? What a beautiful thing He highlights for us here. If God is willing to give Himself, if He is willing to give His own Son to suffer and die upon the cross, wouldn't He give you everything else? And think about what that means for you, child of God. In every circumstance you are in every need, every struggle, every situation, He gave His Son for you. Will He not bring you through this as well? Will He provide not what you need? He will give you everything. And the proof of it is in the fact that He paid the price of His own Son. Of His own Son. To use the language of the book of Acts, God redeemed His church with His own blood. The eternal Son come in the flesh who gave His own life. As so many of our forefathers has quoted, God gave His very best for the very worst He could find. How do you know He will give you all things? If He gave His Son, what wouldn't He give you? Think about that. The one who spoke the cosmos into being gave His life. Don't you think He'd give you the cosmos too? You think the stars in the heavens are a more valuable price than the life of the Son of God? Not a chance. Not a chance. He paid the highest price. In the midst of your doubts, if God will provide for you, think about what He's already given. Think about what He's already given. Any other provision you would need is terribly small compared to the price He has already paid. And for those of you who may not believe in God, or to put it further, maybe those of you who believe in God but don't trust Him, why not? He can provide everything you need. He's given the life of His very own Son to redeem a sinner like you. What isn't there to trust in Him? What isn't reliable about Him? What of Him is not worthy of your trust? Is not that blessed provision of everything you need worth your life? Is it not worth your all? Is your sin really that valuable to you, that precious to you, that you'd rather have sin and wrath and hell and perhaps pleasures in this life rather than all things? I put to you, it makes no sense to think that way, to live that way. It certainly makes no sense to die that way when the price has already been paid, the highest price, His own Son. And this highest price is really already the greatest gift, we could say. The text beautifully highlights that for us as well. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, that's the price, how shall he not, and then notice these two words, with him, also freely give us all things. You already have Jesus, child of God. You already have the eternal Son of God. You already have the maker of the universe. What more would you need? What more would you need? If you already have him, what more would you need? The answer is nothing. Think, if you already have him, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him? What do you have with him? You have a human being, bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, who understands you in every single way, a truly sympathetic high priest, touched with the spirit of your weaknesses. And you have God himself in all his fullness, all his glory, all his majesty, all his power. Imagine the comfort that comes with both, we could say, those two natures being joined in that one blessed person we call Jesus. But you have more than that. You have all the obedience that you have failed to render to God, as you should have. All the obedience you should have rendered to God, he already took care of. We'll consider that a bit later as well. But you not only have all of that, all the times you've messed up, all the times you should have told your brother, your sister, your friend, your husband, your wife, and especially God, I'm sorry, I should have done, or I'm sorry, I should not have done. All those are gone. He has done all those. And all you should be punished for, every selfish, immoral thought, every impure word or imagination, every deed done in thoughtless anger, without a cause, that you should be punished for, that you should die for, you no longer need to. You no longer face eternal death, but now by the grace of God, because as the text says, with him you have eternal life. Again, if he's given you this greatest gift, Jesus, how would he not give you all things? Everything for your life that you need. How would he not give you that? And the simple answer is he will. Just like the implied answer to the question. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Of course he will give us all things because he has given us Jesus. He's paid the price for it. To provide the greatness of our needs. Out of the fullness of his glory. You see, this greatness of provision, this all things, is ours by the grace of God for Jesus' sake, for its cost has been paid. And that makes it marvelously sure. Well, having paid the price of the supply of all things brings with it a blessed surety of their deliverance. Well, the surety comes in the fact the cost that is paid, the highest price, bringing with it the greatest gift even more than all the other things we would need, is sure because it has infinite value. It has infinite value. When our text says that he spared not his own son and delivered him up, when that price was paid, its value was inestimable. Please turn with me in the back of your Psalters to the Canons of Dort. To the Canons of Dort, page 103. The Canons of Dort, page 103, to Article or Head 2 of the Canons of Dort. Where we find in Head 2, Articles 3 and 4, describing beautifully the value of this blessed work. The death of the Son of God, at Article 3 of the second head of doctrine, the death of the Son of God is the only and most perfect sacrifice and satisfaction for sin, and is of infinite worth and value, abundantly sufficient to expiate the sins of the whole world. This death derives its infinite value and dignity from these considerations, because the person who submitted to it was not only really man and perfectly holy, but also the only begotten Son of God, of the same eternal and infinite essence with the Father and the Holy Spirit, which qualifications were necessary to constitute him a Savior for us, and because it was attended with a sense of the wrath and curse of God due to us for our sin. The price was of infinite value. The payment was more than sufficient to cover all things. So it is sure. Nowadays, when you perform a transaction, you tap your chip, insert your card, put in your numbers. Maybe some of you remember the thing we used to have called money, made of paper or plastic, and you handed it to a person and out popped a little drawer and they gave you more money back. Some of it was even metal. Others of you may remember these things called checks. You had a little book and you wrote a number on it and you signed it and you flipped it over in the other little book. You wrote how much was in there, and later on you subtracted the difference and you ripped off the check and gave it to the person. You have these metal things. You used to put your credit card in and put not only paper, but a special yellow paper with carbon, and you'd slide it across and go click, clack. All these different ways of keeping track to prove you paid, you got a receipt. You got a receipt. So if something broke or something was wrong or it wasn't right, you could bring it back and say, "See, I paid. It's done. I paid." It's one of the blessed little word studies that has been done in Greek words in the New Testament. When Jesus said, "It is finished," we know from archaeological studies it's the same word they used to stamp on business receipts in the Greek world at that time. Paid, done, finished. Infinite value. Enough to cover all your sins. Enough to cover all the suffering you would do and need to do apart from the marvelous grace of God. An eternity's worth of punishment covered by his blessed sacrifice. As our forefathers put it, sufficient to expiate the sins of the whole world. Efficient for those who will come to him in faith, but sufficient for all. Of infinite value. In light of that, he who spared not his own son, who delivered him up for us all, as Romans chapter 8, verse 32 would then continue, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And that is to emphasize that this is indeed beyond any reasonable doubt. You might say, but I have unreasonable doubts. My friend, if they're unreasonable, don't listen to them. If things are unreasonable, they're not worth listening to. We can have unreasonable thoughts. We can have unreasonable feelings. We can do, think, feel, and say things that don't make sense because we're sinful. Because we're sinful. If it's not true, if it doesn't make sense, if it's not real, don't believe it. We are so horribly weak and sinful. How many times hasn't someone said something or even looked at you the wrong way and you get angry for no good reason? How many times doesn't our mood go up and down because of things we eat? I feel sad. I feel down. Situations are hard. I know I will have some chocolate. I know I will go out and buy something. And that makes me feel better. Did it change the situation? No, but it changed how you feel. We need to rely on those things that are true. Those things that are of the soundest worth and value. The Word of God. His reckoning and work by the person of His Son. His marvelous supply to sinners who will trust in Him of everything, regardless of how big they think their need is or how great they think their sense of that need is. The supply is sure. It is of infinite value, a cost that has been paid of the highest price. And if you've already received the greatest of gifts, why would He not give you lesser things as well? That is what we must remember, particularly perhaps today. So many of us are facing challenges in our lives, in our homes, in our businesses, mentally, physically, spiritually. There are difficulties, there are challenges, there are hardships. But we have everything in Christ. Undoubtedly. God promises it, and He has made it good by that which His Son has accomplished. Child of God, remember that. In the midst of struggles now, in the midst of all the things we will need Him in the change of seasons to come, remember what He has provided, the supply of all things. And if you do not have Jesus, if you have not come to Him in repentance and faith, and perhaps now the Lord is tapping at the shoulder of your conscience, reminding you now of what you really have, and that, my friends, is not much. You may have successful businesses. You may have excellent grades at school. You may have a marvelous husband or wife. You may have some of the most blessed things in this world. But it can all go just like that. We have no control over sickness. We can't even control the weather. Can't even predict it. Anything you have can be taken. And I ask you further, what righteousness do you have with God? You may have all these marvelous things with men and in this life, but if God were to call you to account tonight, what would you be able to have? As one contemporary pastor put it some years ago, if you were to go to heaven and God would say, "Why should I let you in?" What would you say? What would you say? "Well, I never did this. I'm not that bad. I'm..." And anything you would attempt to say to God would condemn you. Because the requirement is holiness, perfection. Do not think your relative ease, perhaps, in this life compared to others equates to any type of spiritual standing with God. If you are spiritually bankrupt now, regardless of the riches you have, I warn you, they are nothing. They are nothing. But rather come to God for everything, for this life and the one to come, because He has paid the price for someone like you. He has given the most valuable thing, Himself, His own life. And if He will give Himself, His Son, and the life of His Son for the likes of us, don't you think He'll give you everything else? Whatever you may sacrifice in losing your life to find eternal life is better. I guarantee you it will be better to lose this life and find your life in Him. Nothing in this world compares. Rather, exchange the nothing you have, though you think you have everything, to truly, by the grace of God, for Jesus' sake, inherit all things. This must be what we remember, not only on prayer day, but through to the end of our lives, until our Lord Jesus returns, and we truly inherit in its fullness the new heavens and the new earth. What do you need? What do you need? Boys and girls, older ones in our midst, children of God, those of you who are close to the Lord, those of you who are backsliding, those of you who are His enemies, even now, those of you who perhaps are filled with doubts, I ask you, what is it you need? Only you know what it is you need. God knows what you need. And God has supplied all that you need. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Whatever it is you need, trust Him for it. He will supply what you need and more. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the work of Thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the overflowing generosity of Thy blessed self. Lord, humble us, encourage us, and let us stand in awe of Thy blessed supply. And Spirit, apply these things powerfully in the hearts of those perhaps who are cold and stony. Spirit, pour it in with blessing and peace to those who feel broken and in need of encouragement. And would it ever be, Lord, that we would find and give glory to Jesus Christ as we see our every need met by Thee in Him. We thank Thee, Lord, that we may gather together this day to pray together, to remember Thy goodness, to look expectantly to Thy provision. And we pray Thou would remember our farmers, those traveling, and indeed, Lord, everything. In Thy name of Thy blessed Son we pray, amen.